Hello, friends, and welcome back to Out of This World Radio. I'm interviewing a fascinating gentleman, Dr. Carl Rocha, who's with me here in the Dominican Republic. And we left off about, you were talking about people have been giving their power away to different entities, whether that be their doctor, their lawyer, perhaps all kinds of different entities. But if they realize, I think we're all powerful spiritual beings, and we can heal ourselves if we don't give our power away.
Yes, I've been working in Chinese medicine or acupuncture for the past 30 years, since I left Japan in 1987. Most of you were born at that time, I believe. But the idea is that over the years, if I learn anything, I learn this. We have this uncanny power of self-healing. So we're a God-given power that we were given to us to heal ourselves. And two things are necessary for healing. Number one, if your blood is clean, if your energy is flowing, if your power is in place, anything is possible. Anything. The only thing is, like, sometimes or quite often you need some sort of guidance is how to find this, how to clear the clutter, so to speak. And I think that's the role of everybody or any therapist, is to be a facilitator, above all.
Absolutely. I hope you don't mind me changing subjects a little bit, but you met your wife in Findhorn, is that right?
Yes. At the time after Japan, I spent 4 years in Japan when I did my training, and then I felt this desire to carry on. So I went to Germany and I lived for 4 years in Germany studying natural medicine. And at some point, I went to Scotland, Findhorn. I don't know if you know, it's the oldest, basically, spiritual community in the world. It started in 1962 with a vision. It was this lady, Eileen Keddie, and her husband at the time. She had this inner voice, she called. So they went to this very remote area of Scotland, the Highlands, where it's just sand. It's just by the sea, just sand, nothing but nothing. The soil was just very poor. But this inner voice kept saying, plant cabbages, plant all the things, vegetables. And they followed some guidance as what to do to cultivate. As a result, they were very famous for creating this, growing these huge cabbages. So enormous. And nowadays, the community is still there. They have ongoing programs. And there I was. I went for a seminar, a conference in medicine. And I was one of the first ones to arrive. And they were calling the names. I said, Cairo. I said, I'm here. Blah, blah, blah. Cara. I thought it was my name again. I said, I'm here. Only to find out it was a lady from the Bahamas whose name is Cara. Very like my name. She was going to join us. So that's how we started with this connection with Findhorn.
You know, my program is called Out of This World, so my listeners are always interested in things out of this world. So please tell us all about the tree experience, how the tree talked to you.
Yes.
And what the tree told you.
Yes, that's a fascinating story. I have many stories with trees. I have stories in Findhorn, I have in Brazil. It would take the whole day to tell the story, but this one was very meaningful because I was in this seminar in Scotland, as I said, the other one, not this one. The idea was all of us, a group of us, would go out in the woods, big trees, and choose a tree, any tree. And then we go to this tree and see if we could get answers to our questions. So there I was, start walking around, and we're supposed to meet the group 30 minutes later. So when I went to this tree, I chose one that looked like me, tall and thin, and just stay there. You know, with the tree behind me and stay for a while, sending messages, couldn't hear anything. At some point, I said, well, it's time for me to go back to meet the gang. Then I apologized to the tree. So I'm sorry, whatever you're trying to convey, whatever you're trying to tell me, I cannot hear. I cannot understand. But as I stepped out, I first said, I heard a noise. It was something like, oh. Oh, very deep. So, oh, that wasn't here before. willing to be good, or it get a lot stronger. So I decided to follow the noise, all into the trees, into the woods. Finally, I found what was going on. There was this tree leaning against another one, and the wind was making, they touch each other, walking, creating the noise. That's fascinating. But as I moved to the side to see the better view, and I realized that the leaning tree plus two more trees was making the sign of N, a letter N, and a few months later, I was on my way to Nassau. So my question is, where am I going to go next? And the tree answered my question by producing an N with the sound. Mm.
Nostradamus has said that in about 300 or 400 years' time, but I think we'll realize it sooner, we'll realize that trees, especially huge old-growth trees, have very special spiritual connections, and they're able to communicate with other living entities in other dimensions, and they're also able to time travel as well. And once we realize that, none of us will ever cut down a tree again to do anything, because they'll be cherished as a living entity to be respected.
Absolutely. Even my practice as a therapist, I realize that whenever I use a medication or a plant, coming from a tree is much, much, much powerful. A good example is ginkgo. Are you familiar with ginkgo biloba? Huh? Ginkgo biloba is very good for circulation, and it's been using a lot with memory retrieval, like Alzheimer's or dementia. I've been using this a lot with amazing results. But if you look at the ginkgo biloba tree, it's huge, huge. So there's lots of wisdom in the tree. This is amazing reverence. And like that, Ted, I think you realize that most powerful medicine will be discovered for many things coming from trees. Not necessarily plants, they are wonderful, but trees hold the wisdom.
Right, right, they do. And they also have a lot of love, and they're also, because they're straight up, they communicate with the higher dimensions, I think, all the time. Wonderful, wonderful. Are there any more short stories you'd like to share about the Bahamas? Oh, I know. What about the Bermuda Triangle? Please tell us about that.
I knew this question was coming. Well, Bermuda Triangle. We have many stories about the airplanes disappearing and ships disappearing, people getting. But I have a particular one that it comes from a friend of mine. He was flying from Miami or Bermuda, I'm not sure, to the Bahamas. He was a pilot himself, a small airplane. But he was telling me that at some point along the flight, he lost track of time. He said it was like a blink of an eye when he realized it was 3 hours ahead. He had no idea what happened during these 3 hours. It was supposed to be a 40-minute flight. All of a sudden, it was 3 hours, and he had no idea what happened in between. So something beyond might have happened to him to this day.
There are many reports, in the past anyway, of ships, planes, even people disappearing mysteriously in the Bermuda Triangle, which extends from Nassau in the Bahamas to Miami, and then does that go to Puerto Rico? To Puerto Rico.
Yes.
Okay. Do you hear other stories in the media as well?
Well, we hear things. Like, I don't know if you heard or anybody heard that all of a sudden a very old ship appeared.
Yeah.
After, I don't know how many years, 90 years later.
Right.
With nobody. Right. You know, all of a sudden, out of the blue.
Right.
Yeah? But what we noticed that is that as the human resonance is getting changed, or
right.
I think the veil between this and the other dimension are getting very thin. So encounters like that, I think, are going to be more and more common.
Something I read many years ago, I'm always collecting books, and one of the books I read, they said that there's an old weapon at the bottom of the ocean near the Bahamas. It's Atlantean in nature. And every so once, it's a pyramid, it's a big crystal, and every so often the sunlight will hit it in such a way and trigger it. And when it gets triggered, it sends a beam, a particle beam, out from the bottom of the ocean outward. And if you happen to be a plane or a person there or flying, it hits that and you'll be sent into another dimension with no controls. And one of the things that the book said was that many extraterrestrial civilizations from outside of this planet are very interested in that that weapon, because of its ability to shoot entities into other dimensions. But so far, it's still there, and they haven't been able to take it away. But it's a fascinating topic.
Absolutely, and I'm very interested, for obvious reasons, the healing aspect of things. But it's something I can share with you. I think it's firsthand. I don't know if anybody heard about this, but there is. Between Nassau, where I live, the main island, is Eleuthera. Anywhere. Could be Eleuthera or Nassau. The waters are so healing that there's some experiment being done. I'm still looking to that. Maybe I can give you the results next year. But if you stay in this water for 18 minutes, the ocean, the beach, with water up here, amazing things happen to your body. Amazing things. I can only attribute to the healing tradition, to the healing tension.
That's amazing. That's amazing. You know, Dr. Roka, you're an amazing guy, and I'm so happy to have you on today. We got a couple minutes left. Would you like to feel free to share any other stories you like?
Well, I think the main story is the one story we're making now, the story we're making here and now. I think... Online classic books, conference. It's one of the most beautiful gathering of like-minded souls around the world. And I tell her I've been around, I've been in many places. But especially as a presenter, there is something that's very special. It's the warmth, the cariño, el calor. And this is so special. Because all the best transmissions we have in medicine is done through heat, through calor, and that's what you have. So please carry on like this. I wish you all the best. And it's really, really special. And I congratulate Angel and Andes, in the name of everybody else. Okay? I'm very happy to be here. Thank you very much.
Kairoka, if you could give out your website, people could contact you.
There are two ways of contacting me. One is bahamasacupuncture.com. Very easy. It's bahamasacupuncture. And the other one is my name with an R. Cairo R@coralwave.com.
Okay.
Coral Wave. Okay.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Thank you very much, Dad.
Well, I'm really happy to be here. Thanks so much for coming on my show today.
My pleasure.
I have an interesting gentleman named, let me get, so I can get his name correctly. Dr. Sotomayor, I hope I have pronounced that correct, Seraphim Sotomayor, and he's had many experiences with extraterrestrials and UFOs. So, like the title of my show, Out of This World, we'll have a guest on who's literally out of this world. I met Dr. Sotomayor at dinner last night, and he had such fascinating things to say. Anyway, welcome to my show. I'm so happy you're here.
Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Warren. Yes, I have been contacted, and it is something that I initially did not believe in it. I was in the military for a long time, and because of my training and all of this, you know, I never thought that entities were real. But I started working with the radars, and a lot of peculiar things started happening that did not have an explanation. And I never paid too much attention to it until in 1993, in April, 19th of April, three entities came into my room. And they woke me up, and I woke up, and I looked around. And I just couldn't figure out how these three persons got into my room. And that took a while until I settled my nerves down enough to talk to them. So it wasn't until about the third, fourth, or perhaps the fifth contact that I had that I began to accept that particular reality. And This went on for 5 years, and they gave me a lot of messages, a lot of things that had to do with reincarnation. It had to do with metaphysics, with the moral values, and they emphasized the fact that the best way to amplify our consciousness was through the moral values. In my case, I was a little bit wild, not too wild, but, you know, enough to drink beer and stuff like that. And of course, I had to relinquish all of that. And then my life changed. You know, I started noticing that things that I wanted worked my way, and it gave me a lot of mental peace. And from there on, I started getting healthier. These entities are, as I was talking to Dr. Fernandez earlier, they've been here for a long time, and they are from different part of the cosmos. Some of them are very advanced entities. Others are just around the same place that we are. Their evolution, the one that are the real old civilization, they are so evolved that to most of us, they look like gods, angels, or whatever. So I'm convinced that when in the biblical times, they were referring to angels, archangels, etc., they were talking simply about advanced ETs. Yeah. They told me that they are part of an organization in which when a civilization reaches the point of becoming technologically advanced and they start conquering the space, well, they then contact those civilizations to make sure that they follow a particular order that they have. Yeah. And it was 5 years of information. They gave me enough information for me to write an entire encyclopedia. But the information, as I said, it was well-guided. It was more or less a compendium on how to better yourself, how to move away from hatred, prejudice, and a whole bunch of other things that we normally are not aware of it until somebody tells us. And that is basically all I have, unless you have any questions.
Well, I do. You know, many people come to me, and I often wonder myself, how do you make this world a better place? And I'm sure did they give you messages on how to make the world a better place?
They sure did. You know, that is probably their main thrust was for us to get along with each other better. In my particular case, drinking was out of the question. Smoking was out of the question. You know, they asked me very strongly for me to avoid those type of situations, to help everybody around, to promote love, kindness, and a whole bunch of other things that the more you did it, the more love you gave people, the more love you gained back. Yeah.
Beautiful. When was your last contact, by the way?
Well, this was about 5 years ago, and it was regarding. They contacted me and told me that there were going to be floods in a couple of places, which they did happen, and for me to make sure that I stayed away from that particular area, and. They their agenda seems to be evolve or around the fact that they want us to do the best we can to better ourselves and to conserve the planet. That's basically their message.
I see. If people wanted to get a hold of you, I don't want to put you on the spot. Perhaps you're a private person. Do you have a website?
I sure don't. The only thing I could give you is my email address. And as you and I know, I get a whole bunch of emails just about daily. But nevertheless, if you like to copy my email, I'll be available for me to share it with you. Yes.
That's fine. I don't mean to put you on the spot again.
That's okay. Yeah.
You know, if you give your telephone number out, you might get calls 24/7.
Hundreds of calls. That would be something. Yeah. No, I definitely cannot do that.
What did they look like? Now, did they appear in different shapes? Did they look human or humanoid? Or just interested about what? And how did they appear to you? Like, were you suddenly at home in your living room and suddenly an entity materializes in front of you? Or were you walking along a nature path or somewhere maybe along a beach and suddenly they came down to see you? Or
most of the time they woke me up when I was sleeping, obviously, if they woke me up. And but they just appeared, materialized in my room. And they would call my name. And initially I would get very startled. But then after a while, you understand that that's the way they communicate. And as far as how they look, it depends on the race. They are, all of them are humanoid, obviously. Although I understand that there are some others that are not humanoids. But the ones that did come in contact with me, they were from different races. I remember them taking me to a spaceship, and the captain was real tall. He was about 8 feet tall. And the rest of the crew, they were about my size, but the captain happens to be very tall. And he sat me down, and we talked for a while, and he was making some notations on a piece of paper. And I said, well, that's funny that you use our name. And he said to me, no, this is our numbers. And we taught you these numbers about 5,000 years ago. So, you know, I thought that they were using our numbers, and it turned out that it was the other way around.
Interesting. Yeah. So they must time travel then.
As far as I understand, these entities, they are multi-dimensional. They could materialize here, but they could appear in your dreams. And they don't, I'm pretty sure that they have, the natural way of being is probably a physical form, but they could break the material and materialize somewhere else. They seem to have that capability. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's amazing. So you don't, it's hard to say, when do they give you advance notice before they come, or they just kind of show up?
Well, this is funny because I never invited them. They showed up without an invitation, and I thought that was a bit rude, but it wasn't. They were very, very kind, and whenever they were near you, you felt a sense of happiness for some reason and relaxation. Mm-hmm. And when they spoke perhaps in a way, they expressed themselves better than any politician that I ever met.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, and you know, right off the bat, you could tell that they are above off in the evolution process. They are much more advanced than we are.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, you've had some incredible experiences. I hope someday you'll be able to write a book about it.
Well, I have written 5 books.
Really?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Where can people here get a copy?
Well, again, it's going to have to be through my email. Yeah, I will have that available for whomever needs it. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
But did they say what our future's like on this planet?
You know, in 5 years, I ask all kinds of questions, you know, till I run out of questions. 5 years is a long time for you to be asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I did ask that, and they said that it was up to us. It was in our hands. The future, it was in our hands. They said that if we lose control of the technology, then we may have a grim outcome. But if we keep spirituality and technology more or less in balance, then we would be here for a long time. And of course, they will be here to guide us and to guard us. Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, this is an incredible story. I'm so glad I sat next to you. We sat next to you last night and had dinner.
Oh yeah, that was a coincidence. Yeah.
Well, you know what Professor Einstein has said: God doesn't play with dice.
Exactly.
And we live in a deterministic universe, so things happen for a reason.
That is correct. I'm a firm believer that is indeed mm-hmm. the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, we have a few minutes left. Would you like to say anything else?
If I were to sit here for 3 hours, I probably would not run out of topics. But I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to let you torture me that much. Regarding the... I was Catholic. And obviously, I gravitated a little bit from religion, and then I became spiritual. But when they started talking to me about reincarnation and how many times we had to reincarnate in order to evolve, that was very difficult for me to accept. But after a while, and after they given me rather very broad explanations, and after they taken me to different worlds, then you realize that it is impossible for you to get all the knowledge that you need in order to transcend in one lifetime. It is a long process, it takes a long time, and that's what we are here for. And those of us that wake up a little bit and realize that this is the way to go, we accelerate our evolving, our evolution, brother. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, Dr. Soto, thank you so much for coming on today.
Sure, it was a pleasure.
Really, really interesting fellow, and I hope I don't want people to bombard you with questions, but I'm sure people will have questions for you now.
Sure, and I will be ready to answer any question.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Okay.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again so much for coming on today.
My pleasure.
You know, the name of this conference is the Third World Conference on Peace and Light, and we started off the program with Dr. Blonde, is that right?
Blonde.
On the effect of positive thoughts of children in babies on the womb, and we really didn't give Michiko Hayashi much time to talk other than just to say her name and where she's from. So for the remaining time, we've got about 20 minutes left. I'd like to donate this time, give this time to Dr. Michiko Hayashi, Dr. Michiko Hayashi. And you were the what kind of work do you do in your books? And tell us a lot more about your work.
Okay. Thank you, Ted. Well, I succeeded Dr. Emoto's work, and that is his findings through water, that he found out that water, well, first of all, we are 70% water, so is this earth. And in this air also, as vapor, we have water. So we're actually surrounded by water, and we are water too. And Dr. Emoto always said that when we, everything that water sees or that water hears, water remembers what water sees or hears that around the water. And then it shows whether it has a good information or not in the form of crystals. And for children, he made the book called The Message from Water. And in that book, he's showing that whenever we use good words, such as we thank you, or we say you're beautiful, or I love you, those positive, beautiful words, then the water makes beautiful crystal. That happens at the molecular level. And that is happening within our body, and it's affecting not only our physical health, but also it's affecting the environment. So we're trying to teach through this book, The Message from Water, to children that children will grow with love and gratitude, showing how beautiful that, how happy and how harmonious we can be living on this earth. And the earth will be a peaceful place. So that's what we are doing. And as Dr. Blunn said, the moment that the mother has the conception, that is when the babies are receiving the message or receiving the information from mother and environment. So it is so important that mother and father get along well, especially when the baby is in the womb, and mother is in the state of the happiness, being in gentle, loving environment. So the baby will be born as a happy baby, healthy baby.
And you know, if for example, if the parents are not getting along and there's a lot of fighting, then when that child is born, unfortunately, they're going to carry that memory into their lives and often probably end up fighting as well, or have health effects. And everybody pays for that in the future after that happens. And is, I have to ask you, is this why Dr. Moto was such a wise man to focus in on children for love and gratitude, teaching them?
Right. Because we have the saying in Japan, we say, Mitsugo no tamashi hyaku made. That means the person, the soul of the 3 years old will last until 100 years old. That means whatever we are surrounded by the age of 3 years old, then that is creating the structure or the foundation of that person. So until the baby is 3 years old, it's the most important time, and that's when we have to be giving that good information, loving the baby, and giving the best environment to the baby. And Dr. Emoto said, baby is the future of the world, of the earth. So when the babies are, or children, learn to be loved and appreciated, they will be loving people, they will be appreciating people, they will want to be living in harmonious life with others. And just imagine those people are everywhere around the world. The world itself will be the peaceful place. And that was the aim that Dr. Emoto had for this children's book and Emoto Peace Project.
If you don't mind me asking you this question, you have a lot of books in Spanish in Tokyo, mm-hmm. waiting to be shipped out to North America and other places and in other areas of the world, but you don't have enough money for shipping. And if you don't mind telling people about that and how they can help.
Okay, thank you. To come here to Dominican Republic, I made Spanish edition of this children's book called Los Mensajes del Agua, The Message from Water in Spanish. And I printed 3,000 copies of this children's book, which I brought today, not 3,000 copies, but I brought about 150 books here. And the rest, I would like to send them to Washington, because Ted and I established Emerald Peace Project America. That's a nonprofit organization. And because there are so many people, Spanish-speaking people living in the United States, but I do want to share that important books to those people in the United States and also in Latin America. But I printed the books, but I don't have enough budget to ship them to the United States. So I would love some donations from the listeners or whoever they can. And sending like PayPal or something, or checks maybe to you, Ted?
Would be fine.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And so maybe you can give your...
You can send donations to me. My name is Ted Mahr, M-A-H-R, to P.O. Box 5331 Lacey, Washington. Lacey is spelled L-A-C-E-Y, Washington 509-5331. Or you can do it by PayPal to Out of This World 1150@gmail.com. And how much do you need, Michiko? And how many books are you sending?
To send 1,000 copies by ship, it costs like $500.
Okay.
So maybe if I have $500, then I can send 1,000 books.
Okay. $500 to change a whole generation of children, to teach them how to the importance of love and gratitude, so that when they become older, they want to create a better world.
Right.
That's a pretty economical price, if you ask me.
Oh, thank you. Now, just imagine, when we are small children, if we learn that we are water and whatever we say is affecting ourselves and other people in the environment, we would not want to live using negative, ugly words or fighting with each other. Instead, we want all these children will want to live in harmony, being a kind people and using positive words. And that will create a peaceful world automatically.
Now, one last thing. In 25 words or less, talk about Hado and vibration and how everything is Hado.
Okay.
You have more than 25 words.
Okay. Well, everything is vibrating, even though we can't see, but this table is vibrating, this microphone itself is vibrating, we are vibrating because our heart is vibrating. Each organ of the body has its own frequency vibration, and that vibration, the vibration has a sound. We can hear the sound, you can hear me talk. Why can you hear? It's because there's water. Water is a media that carries this vibration. So we have to know how important water is, what water is doing, and that water is transmitting this vibration. And everything is vibration.
Well, you know, we have so many talented people here in the audience today, and some people actually have, I know you have your Katsutama machine. Could you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Katsutama? Okay, Katsutama machine is something, is the machine that detects, it scans your body, your energy of your body, and shows whether you are in a good vibration today, or your energy in certain part of the body is not vibrating well or having a good energy. And to check your vibration or energy level, you can try to stay in a good health. That's the machine that we have.
I see. Okay. And you'll be giving a demonstration of that machine on September 3rd at the Crystal Voyage spiritual shop in Tacoma, just off 38th and Cedar. Real quickly, we're going to a coffee break here, and I have to end up, but I want to give a minute and recognize Renata, who's come all the way from Costa Rica, and she has special healing mats, which are based on vibration. We don't have much time left, but go ahead and introduce yourself,
okay,
please.
So I'm Renata, and I'm from Costa Rica, bringing you a frequency device that is really like bringing peace into all the lives of the people that use it.
Wonderful. And what's your website so people can contact you for more information?
Okay, it's healinghouse.live.
Healinghouse.live?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. Wonderful, okay. Renata. And I want to thank you. You fit in well with Haro and Vibration. And I want to thank everyone so much, Dr. Roca, Dr. Fernandez, Dr. Sotomayor, Michiko, for coming up today. You're all such wonderful people, and you're all making the world a much better place. And with that, I hope you all have a wonderful and happy weekend, and we'll be broadcasting directly from Seattle live on next Friday's show. So I hope you all have a beautiful and happy weekend. Thank you so much for listening today. Hello, friends. I'm back live, actually. I'm still in the Dominican Republic. Next week, I'll be in Seattle. But I have a wonderful lady here named Maria Petrick. She's the brand ambassador for the Connected Universe film. It's Nassim Harriman's film, narrated by Sir Patrick Stewart. And it's a feature documentary by Malcolm Carter. It's a very famous film, and it's the purpose of the film is to show that we're all connected as a planet. And with that, what I'd like to do is play the first part of the trailer here. We'll just play this here, and then I'll interview Maria. Maria, could you please play this trailer? Thank you so much.
What if you were connected to everyone in the world? How would your life change? What if you could see the patterns? See the beauty? In science, deepen your connection to nature, to the stars, and to each other. Learn to see the world.
Maria, thank you so much for playing that little trailer just now. It's a wonderful introduction to your work. And with that, I'd like to welcome Maria Petrick to Out of This World Radio. She's with the Connected Universe. She's actually from Austria, but she's here in the Dominican Republic giving a presentation on behalf of Nassim Harriman, who's one of the world's most famous physicists. And with that, I'd like to turn over the show to Maria. Hi, welcome to Out of This World, Maria. Thank you so much for being on today.
Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to speak to you.
Great, wonderful. Now, the film, it premiered on September 26, 2016, and it's narrated by Patrick Stewart, of course, and he's the famous Star Trek fellow. But tell me a little bit more about the film, please.
The film is simply a life-changing story. It changed my life and of many other people who have watched it, because it is really like a reminder that we all are connected and that we really need to unite, that we need to see the beauty everywhere and focus on what is connecting us instead of what is separating us.
In your write-up, you've written that Nassim was deeply inspired by my friend Albert Einstein. And he continued to pursue Professor Einstein's idea that geometry held the key to creating a unified equation for the universe, which led to his realization, of course, that we are, in fact, all one.
That's very true. We are one global family. And if we have this understanding that we are all interconnected, we will be caring and loving to each other. We will be really taking care of each other's needs. And we will be simply seeing everybody as part of us, as an extension of us, instead of being separate.
Absolutely. That's one of the messages that Nostradamus gave me several years ago, that as we all realize humanity on this planet, we are all one, we won't fight each other, because if you kill someone, you're really killing yourself, because we're all part of that spark of the Supreme Being who created all of this.
That's very true, and that's one of the reasons why we are here today in Dominican Republic during the Third World Peace Conference, Conference on Peace and Light, and it's really our very important message to the world that we need to focus on the positive and what connects us, not what separates us.
Absolutely. And one thing, too, mentioned in the conference, of course, is that the vibrations of the planet are rapidly changing and going to higher and higher. During this month, I know the vibrations are going much higher. And with that, your film should be recognized even more than what it is. You'll be playing the movie tomorrow night, is that right?
That's true. We are going to show the movie tomorrow. With a subtitle in Spanish. So I hope that there will be many people inspired. It's really important that we open our hearts and our minds and that we connect with each other and that we share love and light.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, the website for the film, if you're interested, could you please give that out to my listeners?
Yes, of course. It's getconnected.resonance.is.
www.getconnected.resonance, resonance.is. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, tell me some more about the film and how Nassim ended up doing this wonderful, wonderful movie.
Well, Nassim is very famous for his scientific work, and he has been studying and working on these topics more than 30 years. So this film is really showing his work, and it's about his theory, about unified field theory, where he's sharing Albert Einstein's vision and ideas, and also the work of Nikola Tesla. So feel free to go to our website and have a look at the film. You can watch it, you can share it, you can engage with us. And if you have any questions, you can go to resonance.is and connect with us as well there.
Wonderful. Do you think John Lennon was right when he wrote his song, that we are all one?
Of course, definitely. And this is going to be the message of our conference here on Peace and Light, that we are all one, we are one global family, brothers and sisters, and that we really do need to love each other more. So it's about sharing love and sharing light.
Wonderful. I have to ask you, Maria, how did you get involved with this film, and what led you to this point in your life where you're working on the film?
This was an amazing story, to be honest. After 15 years working at the United Nations in Vienna, one of my dear friends and former colleagues connected me to Nassim, and at that time I did not really know much about Nassim's work, but when I checked his website, I was so impressed, and it was meant to be that we meet and that I start working with them. So since January and all the way until now, I've been supporting their work. And I'm very privileged and I'm very, very honored and happy to be able to promote this film, because not only the film, also the Resonance Science Foundation and Resonance Academy. It's a very important, life-changing work, and it is really changing my life in so many ways, and it's like a beautiful, inspiring story. I would like to tell more about this, of course, if we have more time.
Well, we actually have quite a bit of time, and here at this, we've got about 8 minutes left, which is actually quite a bit of time in radio. So there is a lot of time, actually. Well, tell me a little bit about Nassim's work. Now, I know he's very famous and well-known throughout the years. Could you tell me a little bit about Nassim Harriman?
Well, Nassim was born in Geneva in Switzerland and spent more than 30 years researching and discovering connections in physics, mathematics, geometry, cosmology, quantum mechanics, biology, chemistry, archaeology, anthropology, and even ancient civilizations.
I think that covers all the known fields of science, doesn't it? Did we leave anything out? I don't think we did.
Well, not really. All right. And his work is really inspired by most pioneering scientists of our era, such as Max Planck, Albert Einstein, and Nikola Tesla, just to name a few. He's also leading an international team of physicists, mathematicians, and engineers in exploring unification principles and their implications for our world today and for generations to come.
One of the most important things that Professor Einstein's told me from the other side is that his work mostly was in the third dimension, but after going to the other side now, he's done quite a bit of work in physics in the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, and higher dimensions. And I think what Nassim is doing is that he's doing the same thing. He's leading us into these other dimensions. Well, where is he based now? Where is his home base?
Well, he's based in California.
Okay.
And as you know, that Resonance Science Foundation started in Hawaii, mm-hmm. another paradise on Earth, just mm-hmm. like Dominican Republic.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, this movie's available online, but what about will it be coming to movie theaters as well?
Well, that's probably a future project, but at the moment mm-hmm. it's just available online and people can watch it, they can share it, they can also purchase an online version mm-hmm. and in this way also support the project and support the Resonance Science Foundation and Academy.
Okay, wonderful. Now, the Resonance Science Foundation, the Academy, its purpose is to unify science. Is that right? All the different disciplines. Okay.
Exactly.
To show that we are all interconnected. Is that right?
That's true.
Okay. Wonderful.
And the Resonance Academy is the world's first educational resource for the study of unified physics, engaging with thousands of students from more than 77 countries. So, I'm one of the students as well. I'm one of the delegates, and we are even organizing the very first delegate program in Egypt. This is going to be an annual gathering in Egypt in October. So if anyone wants to join us, they need to complete the delegate program first, and then they can still register. I think this week is probably the last week to register for the Resonance delegate gathering in October in Egypt. So,
could you give the website address for people to look up more information, please?
Yes, of course. It's www.resonance.is, resonance.is, and then /delegate-gathering-2017.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Maria, it's been such a special privilege to have you on my show today. Yes, it's so nice to run into you. And also, we also happen to have... Oh, yes, go ahead, yes. Go ahead.
I think it's very important to mention that, especially today, we were here during the conference, and we received the very special award for Nassim Haramein and for Malcolm Carter, the film director, where they became the newly appointed World Ambassadors of Peace and Light.
Beautiful. What a beautiful honor. That's so nice. And, of course, the foundation here sponsors the Peace and Light Conference every year, and this is the third one they've had this year. Wonderful. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on, Maria, and you've been just inspiration for all of us. And so
thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
Nassim as well. With the remaining a couple of seconds we've got left, Michiko Hayashi of the Immortal Peace Project just happens to be with us here today, and she's asked to play her special love tuning fork. It's the 528 hertz. Go ahead and play that. When she plays it, we'll be singing love all around the world. This is a love frequency tuning fork. Go ahead, Michiko.
Okay, thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Michiko, for playing that. This is Ted Maher. This is the second hour of Out of This World Radio, and I hope everyone's enjoyed this show. It's been an incredible conference out here, And I hope you all have a wonderful and beautiful day. I'm broadcasting live from the Dominican Republic in the Caribbean today, but next week I'll be back in Seattle again. And thank you again so much for everyone for listening. And together, I know if we work together, we can all create a much better and happier world. Everyone, I hope you have a beautiful and happy weekend. And thank you again so much for listening today. Bye-bye.